We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama, what a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast. My name is Chris Plank, and we kick off the tailgate this weekend with the one, the only, Toby Rowland. Good to have you back, T-Row. Now, we've had our crossover from our radio show on the podcast every now and then when we answer a few questions, but man, take us through a crazy last couple of weeks for you, from traveling up to Pittsburgh with basketball, even up to Kansas City for the Big 12, splicing in some baseball games when you can get in. It's been a pretty wild trip the last few weeks, hasn't it?
I've missed you, Plank. Yeah, it's been one of those spans that we have that are super fun, and yet at the same time, the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is kind of remind yourself what city you're in. So that's been happening. That's been happening a little bit lately, but I think we're settled in here now, and we're going to be in Norman for a while, so this is a good thing. But that was exciting to see Oklahoma's name on that bracket for the NCAA tournament unveil. The trip to Pittsburgh was shorter than we were hoping, although it gave us a fabulous basketball game. What a thriller, overtime thriller there. Golly, it's so hard to remember. We went up to Wichita for a baseball game. You're right, we had the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. So it's been a crazy couple of weeks, but sad to see the basketball season come to an end sooner than we had hoped, sooner than at one point this season it looked like it might. But very excited about, you know, hopefully what the baseball and for you, the softball seasons have in front of us here.
Oh, absolutely. Well, before we get into Trey's decision, the future of hoops, and the current state of baseball, our buddy Perry Spencer pointed out that he had a Facebook memory pop up this morning that this is around the time 7 years ago when Toby Rowland was hired as the voice of the Oklahoma Sooners. Does that timeline seem about right to you?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I hadn't thought about it. It was March of 2011. So yeah, it would have been 7 years ago. He's exactly right, man. I don't. You know, it seems like that's gone fast. But at times it's hard for me to remember life before this current job. So I do remember that day, though. I do remember that day. I got a phone call that made me cry like a baby. And I remember that we were supposed to try to keep it secret for a few days, but somehow it leaked and it got out there. And The rest is history, good or bad, however it's gone. The rest is history. But, yeah, so, wow, that's crazy.
7 years ago. It's funny that you say that. And you know what? I think this is probably
– It's about 6 years and 10, 11 months since you came on board.
That's right. I was pretty quick there after you. My first event I did was the spring game. I came down, and my first ever interview was the wrestling coach at the time, Mark Cootie. I remember it like it was yesterday. There's a summer podcast for an hour. We can sit and talk about this. But I bring it up for a reason, and you said something. It's hard to remember life before this, and I think that's a good thing. I think that shows you, Toby, how much fun we've had doing this, how, you know, it's so rewarding. And it's also fun, man. It's fun to work around the crew that we get to work around.
Yeah, it's. I know everybody hears that all the time and probably gets tired of me saying it. I don't know, but if you really love your job, like we love our job, then it doesn't feel like a job. And I was thinking about that on Tuesday. We had a baseball game at Wichita. And the preparation that goes into a baseball game is not as lengthy as a football game. But for game one of a series, I'm assuming you're the same way, Chris. I'll spend several hours getting ready, not just kind of getting your scorebook ready and all the nuts and bolts and essentials, but just to find as much information as you can about the opponent you're going to play beyond the batting averages and stuff. Hopefully some biographical information, some historical information. Something that will be interesting to the listeners and to myself about this game and the series that's coming up. And the alarm goes off Tuesday morning, and it's early, and then it dawns on me, oh, it's a game day. We play Wichita State tonight. And I get excited. And you would think 7 years into the job for a Tuesday night baseball game against Wichita State that maybe it wouldn't still be as exciting as it is, but it is. I look forward to the research. I look forward to putting a broadcast together. I get nervous about getting everything plugged in properly. You know that. I'm bothering you in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun, and hopefully that comes through on our broadcast that we really enjoy what we do.
Absolute blast, man. Okay, well, we had fun following Trey this year. It was an unbelievable season, a history-making season. I don't think anyone's surprised that he decided to turn pro. But I thought it was just from the numbers he put up, Toby. I know that there's some people that get mad whenever a guy leaves early and maybe before they feel like he's ready. But, man, I hope time will allow us to truly appreciate this incredible season that he had. I mean, it was record-setting.
Yeah, and I think it will. It'll be interesting to see, historically speaking, how this season is remembered.
Great point.
I think that will be fascinating. That time app that you were talking about with Barry Spencer, when we get 15 years from now, 2033, what do we remember of the 1 year with Trey Young at Oklahoma? I think a lot of that depends on his success at the next level.
I agree.
If he goes on to be a perennial all-star and a superstar in the NBA, then – you know, maybe we remember the 1 year a little, you know, more glowingly than if the opposite happens. So it'll be fascinating because the success of the team itself obviously was a roller coaster. The success of Trey himself had its high points and his low points this year. And in the end, they probably accomplished right about what most of the pundits in the preseason thought they would accomplish, which was middle of the pack finish in the Big 12 and a first round NCAA tournament. But because of the circuitous route to get there, it felt disappointing in the end. And I agree, it did feel disappointing in the end. But just as far as Trey goes, I mean, you know, I've never seen anyone in person do the kind of things that he did on the basketball court. I don't think anyone has. On a college basketball court, we haven't seen anyone play the game like Trey Young played it this year. And I'm grateful to have gotten to, in a small part, take the ride and try to describe it. It was gloriously fun, and I wish him nothing but the best. I I'm not here to give an opinion on whether he made the right choice or wrong choice. I don't know what I would have done. We've talked about that on the radio a few times. I don't know whether he should have gone or shouldn't have gone, but I certainly am happy for him because I know that this has always been his dream since he was a little kid to play in the NBA, and he's certainly going to get a chance. And I think he's going to be very successful. I really do. I think when he has the ability to be surrounded by other NBA stars with an open floor and not seeing double and triple teams all the time, that his game is just going to flourish. And so I'm just excited to go root for him at the next level. I hope he ends up I'm going to cheer for him wherever he goes, but I hope he ends up with a team that makes it easier for me to cheer for him.
I like it. So with that said, in putting a wrap on the hoops season, I think the future is very interesting because you have what I still feel like is a strong core with names like Christian James and Jamoney McNeese and Akam Agusti. And again, with college basketball rules the way they are, you don't want to just go ahead and slam dunk and write everything out in Sharpie because you never know if a guy might leave and pursue other options other places. But I think this is going to be a real interesting offseason, Toby, leading into a very intriguing 18-19 season for Lon Kruger and crew.
Totally agree. Excuse the call. So I think people are sleeping on him a little bit for next year because, the numbers for the supporting cast were not overly impressive this
right.
year. And the reason, there's a reason for that. If one guy is going to score 30 points and have 10 assists, naturally those points are going to come from somewhere else. So, and I think some guys had disappointing years. I think they would even tell you that, especially the second half of the season, they didn't play as well as they thought they could have. But when you look at the guys coming back, I think Oklahoma's got a chance to be an under-the-radar team next year. And we don't know the guys that are going to be added, how good they are. So if you just cast that aside, we don't really know that for anybody. But you are going to have a very veteran team next year. You look at what Texas Tech has done this season, and the jump that they made is in large part because they are just senior laden across the board, and they've seen a ton of basketball. And I'm not saying Oklahoma is going to make that much of a jump next year, but I'm not saying they're not either. I mean, they're going to have seniors in Christian James and Rashard Odoms and Jamoney McNeese, who I think has a chance to be an all-conference type guy for the next year. And Cam McGusty and Christian Doolittle are going to be juniors. And we finally kind of were reminded of how good Christian Doolittle was and is in the way he played in that NCAA tournament game. And you're going to have a whole bunch of pieces. Brady Manick is going to be a year older and stronger and better that I think are good. And just because Trey's not going to be there, people are saying, well, you can ride off Oklahoma next year. They're not going to be a factor. I kind of like the fact that probably going into the season with a veteran team, they're going to be overlooked. They're going to be probably, down in the Big 12 polls and all that kind of stuff and come off the radar because that seems to be when Lon Kruger has done his best work through the years. There's a stat that they often throw out about how his teams have exceeded where they've been predicted in the preseason poll. I don't know what it is now, but like 9 out of 10 years or something like that. So I'm guessing Oklahoma's going to be predicted in the bottom half of the conference going into next year since Trey's gone. And, I'm not sure that there aren't a bunch of guys who have played a bunch of basketball, are veterans, and who are going to listen for months to people tell them they're not any good and without Trey Young, they can't succeed. And by the way, are disappointed with how this season ended. And, I think they got a chance to maybe accomplish and be better than people realize that they can be next year.
I agree. All right. Hey, two more quick ones, and I'll let you get after it. And then Melissa Lombardi is going to join us on the podcast, and we'll talk softball. Skip Johnson, man, what a stud this guy is. I don't know if there's anything in life this man hasn't done. He is a jack of all trades. And I like where he has this baseball team. I know that they're still kind of working through some things with their Sunday starter, and it's going to be Nathan Wiles this weekend. But as far as a 1-2 punch goes, Toby, if they can figure out anything on Sunday look out as we get into Big 12 play this weekend. And there's been a little bit of a well, I don't know if the term is competition. There's been a little bit of bad blood between OU and West Virginia in the past. So that kind of adds to things this weekend.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun weekend. Big 12 play is always, it always amps up the intensity. OU and West Virginia have played spicy series. I like that word. Through the years. It's been, certainly last year's got a little sideways on them at times. I hope we don't have any incidents this weekend, but certainly that has been the case, that there is a history there that gets brought into this series a little bit. We're 22 games into a 56-game season, so maybe right around a third of the way through, a little over a third of the way through. And I think what we know at this point is Oklahoma can pitch. This is a really good pitching team. You've got aces, two of them, in Irvin and Perez. I think Wiles is going to move to Sunday this week, and I think he's probably going to win that job, but we'll see. He's been really good for them. And you've got a bullpen that there's really four guys that have been just nails for them out of the pen. One of them is a true freshman in Levi Prater, who leads the Big 12 in appearances, and Chip can't not throw him. Every game he's out there for a batter or two or a whole inning or two. Austin Hansen has seen his fastball get into the mid-90s this year. Braden Fink has been great. And then you got Connor Berry on the back end, the closer, who has been liked out as well. So they've got quality starters who are big league prospects, by the way, and a back end of the bullpen that is fantastic. So I think that's established. I'm convinced Oklahoma can pitch. The two questions are, how good of a hitting team are they? Because they've been really streaky. They started the season super slow, then they got really hot, and now the last two or three games they've had a hard time scoring runs again. So they've gone up and down in that regard. I'm not exactly sure yet how good of a hitting team this is. I'm not saying they're bad. I just haven't figured it out because they've been so inconsistent. And then they've been really surprisingly not good defensively. They started the season committing a whole bunch of errors. They steadied that for a while, and now they've started to commit some errors again. In fact, it costed a game Tuesday night in Wichita. So, and that's surprising when you look at the guys in the field, like Brandon Zaragoza, I think maybe the best defensive shortstop that I've ever seen in college baseball. He got six errors early in the year, which just doesn't make a lot of sense at all. He'll make the spectacular play, and then the throw might be offline. So the offense and the scoring runs and defensively not bleeding a run or two a game because of sloppy play is where they've got to shore things up. But that being said, I think they go into Big 12 play probably, you know, looking like the third or fourth best team in this conference. If they can play up to that, they can be top half of this conference, you know, fourth or better, then I think they're a certain NCAA tournament team. And if they can have a really good conference season, then maybe they're a team that looks at potentially being a regional host. But all that starts to be decided this weekend because you've got to take care of business at home in conference play. And the schedule kind of breaks OU's direction this year. There's eight conference series. And because Bedlam is a neutral site, every year you play, in actuality, four at home and three on the road, or three at home and four on the road, with that one neutral site being the eighth series. Well, this is the year OU gets four home series, only three road series, and then OSU neutral site. So they've got a favorable schedule. You've got to win at least two of three on your home series and conference play to be able to do things like finish in the top half. So pressure's on them a little bit this weekend. West Virginia's a good team, probably in the same area as Oklahoma, but you got them on your home field, and they need to win this series.
And then in closing, before I let you run, I had a chance to sit down, and we did a podcast 2-3 weeks ago. You guys can find it in the archives, Soonersports.tv/podcast, or however you consume this podcast. I sat down with Jake Irvin, and I don't know how much you've been able to talk to Jake. I think he was on the pregame show with you a couple weeks ago. But, man, what a stud. What a guy that you can rally around and Toby, I don't know what the baseball mock drafts are saying, but I'm excited for this kid's future at the next level and what he can do the rest of this year.
Yeah, I listened to that interview you did in its entirety, and I listed part of it for our pregame show. I thought it was so good. Jake is one of many examples on this campus of exemplary young men and women.
Amen.
Who played for the University of Oklahoma. He is a stud athlete. He is a big-time pitcher. I mean, we're talking 6'4", 6'5", with a fastball in the low to mid-90s and a killer slider and the ability to think the game, a maturity beyond his years, a true leader on this team. And he's going to be, after this year, drafted high in the amateur baseball draft, and I have no doubt go on to succeed. You know, there are talented young men and women, and every once in a while there is one that comes along that just kind of jumped out at you. Whoa, that kid's impressive. You know, Jake Irvin is one of those young men who just jump out at you and always, yes, sir, no, sir, you know, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, David, his father, who drives down from Minnesota to watch him pitch almost every game, maybe every game that he pitches, has done a great job raising that young man, because I can't speak more highly of Jake Irvin. And he's the guy, you know, he's the Friday night ace, and that carries with it a lot of pressure in college baseball. When you're the guy that's getting the ball against the guy for the other team every Friday night, guess what? The other team's got a pretty good guy too. Then it's tough. It's tough because there's a lot of 2-1 and 3-2 baseball games, and if you give up one run, that could do it for the night. And he's the guy they've entrusted for the last 2 years now to be that guy, and boy, has he lived good. He's been fantastic.
All right, well, it was good to finally talk to you one-on-one, more in length, in depth here, Toby. Have a great call this weekend against West Virginia, and we'll have to do this more often. Travel schedule calms down a little bit for you here, right? Just a bit?
Yeah, we're home for the next 2 weeks. I think our next road trip, I believe, is down to Waco. No, that's not even right. We got Baylor coming here. Chris, I don't even know.
You're home.
Maybe TCU in a couple of weeks.
You're home for 2 weeks. That's all that matters. Thanks, Toby.
Yeah. All right, see you, Chris.
All right, so there he is, the voice of the Sooners, Toby Rowland. It had been a while. Now, he's been on the podcast. Maybe, you know, I like to pull the curtains back here. Toby and I both do radio shows on the same radio station, and our last segment we do together. So sometimes if it's just maybe a point or two, I'll take that and use it on the podcast. But good to go in depth on 7 years. Wow. 7 years as the voice of the Sooners. Well, I can't lie. I'm proud to be the voice of Oklahoma Sooners softball, and I had a chance to catch up with associate head coach, pitching coach Melissa Lombardi earlier, and started by simply asking how impressed she was with the gutty performance of one Paige Parker on Monday, a day when Coach Gasso told us in the pregame show she was hoping to give Paige a day off. All Paige did was go out, throw 7 innings of no-hit relief as the Sooners beat CSUN 1-0.
I was pretty impressed with her. I thought Paige Lowry did a great job with the start, and then when Paige Parker came in, I mean, one thing I say to both of them is that really the only thing that they have in common is that they're both left-handed. I think they both give two completely different looks. So for them trying to be on time to Paige Lowry throughout the beginning of the game, and then for Paige Parker to come in and to mix her moving pitches and to change speeds on them, I thought she did a great job.
How has things changed for you? We've always had staffs, but to where, you know, it's not as if you're expecting Paige Parker to go out and give you 7 innings, to where you have that staff. Coach, how has that changed the way that you approach your use of your pitchers, having the staff and the depth that you do right now?
It's been great. I mean, these past couple of years, it's definitely been different for us because these past 2 years are the biggest staffs that we've ever had. But what I like about it is that it forces the opponent to prepare for all 6 of them. They can't, you know, in the past they could come in and prepare for 1 for sure, maybe 2 and possibly 3, but now it forces them to prepare for everybody. And with that, with each pitcher coming in. They all are fresh. They're not, you know, I think of in 2016, Paige Parker that year, she threw a ton of innings.
Yeah.
And anytime we were going to play somebody, that's who they expected to see. Where now they expect to see her, but then they also have to prepare for the others. And on top of that, they get to face a fresh Paige Parker.
You've dealt with this your entire career, from the Kalani Ricketts of the world and the Dylan Mathises, players who have pitched quite consistently in Big 12 play, so teams get to see her two, three, four times, and then, of course, more than 2 or 3 years. How much of a challenge is that to keep things, I guess, diverse, to consistently mix things up? Because, obviously, you get a read and you're scout on the hitters, but they also get a read on your pitcher. So how much does that challenge you, Coach, to consistently mix things up?
It is a challenge, and we were actually, our staff, we were just talking about that yesterday. You know, the hitters that we're facing, they're very, very good hitters. So to have a game plan for them in their first, for a hitter, say, in her first at-bat, and to have success, for us to think that we're going to have the exact same game plan for her in her second at-bat, she's usually going to probably come up to the plate hunting for the pitch that we got her out. So I think it's very important that we continue to change our looks and not try to go after these big hitters the same way.
You know, it's always it's amazing to look at your history and the success that you've had with left-handed pitchers and developing them and obviously finding another level. Have you been able to pinpoint why? Is there a reason why Coach Lombardi has had so much success with lefties?
You know, I don't know, honestly. I don't really know the answer. We've had some great pitchers that have come into this program, and one thing that I think has been pretty neat watching these different athletes, you watch Kalani Ricketts as a freshman, and then just each year she was able to elevate her game and look completely different as a senior compared to when she was a freshman. But, you know, one thing I think all of them, whether they're right-handed or left-handed, is their ability to compete. That's what we talk about a lot, is that they give full effort and that they know how to compete on the mound and they're not afraid to compete on the mound. And I think that's where we've been successful, is that they're not afraid to compete.
And they don't, and this is from afar, so you might have a much different perspective on this than I do, but it doesn't seem as if they allow the adversity to get them down too much, and they don't celebrate the success too much. In other words, I was eating with Paige in the airport in Vegas, and, you know, if I would have thrown a no-no for 7 innings, I would have been letting everyone that walked through the airport know about it. It's like, hey, they're no hitter today.
Yeah.
Paige is just, she's ready to go after the next opponent. Whenever things don't go well, they just work right past it, Coach. That's a pretty amazing personality and characteristic to be able to not get too high or not to hit too low.
Yeah, and I like that they do that, because it's, you know, the most important game is the game that's right in front of you. And once we're done with it, the most important game is the next game that's coming. And I think they do a good job of, you know, after the game, Paige and the entire team, they were pumped. They had a little bit of a celebration, but then it was done, and it's ready to move on to the next. So I think they do a good job of understanding what's in front of them, but also seeing the big picture as well.
We're hanging out with Melissa Lombardi, associate head coach, pitching coach for the Oklahoma Sooners. I know there's some excitement, obviously, whenever we start Big 12 play, but there's also excitement for me when I see the development of those younger pitchers. And obviously, one of those is Parker Conrad, maybe one of the best personalities in her own mind, I think, in some ways, but maybe one of the best personalities that we've had in a long time, Coach. Where have you seen the biggest growth in Parker from the moment she stepped on campus?
With Parker, she's got a great ability. I know you've seen that off-speed curveball that she throws, and it's devastating. I think Parker's just coming in. She had the tools. I think it was just her having the belief in herself and that she was good enough to stand on the mound and to compete. And every time she gets on the mound, you can see that her confidence is there and she's trusting her stuff. And not only trusting her stuff, I think one thing that's important with all of our pitchers to understand is we don't need to ride on their backs each game. We need them to contribute their part and then trust and know that our defense has got their backs and that our hitters, they're going to score a ton of runs for them. And so I think when they see the type of defense that's behind them and then also the type of hitters that we have, I think that really allows them to relax and just go for it on the mound. And I think every outing with Parker, you can see her just going for it more and more.
And then, of course, Mariah Lopez, who has been through a lot, but again, another great personality that you have, Coach. Same question as I asked with Parker, where have you seen Mariah Lopez's biggest growth over the last offseason with Team USA? This season has had a nice start. Hadn't walked anyone up until this weekend and kind of struggled with control this weekend.
Yeah, she struggled a little bit with control this weekend, and we actually watched some film, and I think we got that figured out. I mean, one thing I really like about Mariah is that she really attacks the hitters. She does not walk hitters. So that was a little unlike her this past weekend, mm-hmm. but I think she got that figured out. I think with Mariah, the biggest thing is just all the experience that she's received. You know, last year as a freshman, she was a starter for us and got a lot of wins. She pitched at the College World Series, which to me, I think that is humongous. I think anytime a young pitcher can stand on the mound on the College World Series and have success, it's exciting to see what that next year is going to bring for them because it adds so much to them. And then this past summer, going and traveling with USA Softball and wearing USA on her chest, that is, you know, every young softball athlete dreams of one day being able to do that. So she's had some really great experiences as a young pitcher, and I think that has gone a long way for her.
You know, I pigeonholed this a lot just talking about pitching, Coach, but this program has always had expectations. And preseason number one last year, preseason number one this year. I mean, we can go back to 14, all the hype around that team. How do you feel like this version, this 2018 version as a whole, has handled the hype heading into this season?
I think they've handled it really well. One thing, this team, they really enjoy each other's company. They enjoy competing with each other. So I think that is a huge bonus. The second thing is that they're young, but they're very experienced with all of the hype and the preseason rankings and this and that and all these different things. And they look at it and they're like, great, but they understand that being preseason number one really doesn't matter. It's are we going to be number one at the end of the year? So I think they do a good job of taking that all in stride and I think them as a group, they do a good job of not getting too high, too low, but understanding what's in front of them. And that's the most important thing, you know, is what is currently in front of them. So for us, this Texas Tech series, you know, that's the most important thing right now. And so what are we going to do to, you know, get that done?
Has it been unique being at home for spring break? I know we were out in L.A. for most of spring break last year, but is this kind of unique to be home during the week of spring break, Coach, or is this fairly common?
You know, we've had this once or twice before. Lots of times in the past, we're usually out in California during spring break. I think it's been nice for us as coaches and athletes to be able to be home during spring break to just recover, to be in our own beds, you know, to practice on our own field. There's a lot to say when you get to be at home. So I think this has allowed us to really prepare for this weekend, just being at home.
Crowds have been phenomenal. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, and I don't know how much of it, because you're so dialed in that you can truly get into, Coach, but it's been an amazing season in the stands so far, and we're just getting started, hasn't it?
The fans have been awesome. The crowds that we've had, I mean, the crowds that we had this fall during our fall schedule was pretty crazy. And then every home game that we've had, all the young girls and fans coming in and just really into our games. And, you know, that's one thing that we talk about is, especially for a regional or super regional, we always want to get our fans, you know, to pack. We want to pack the house because they contribute to that home field advantage and give us an advantage. And not only are they doing that in the postseason, but to have that type of advantage for all of our home games is huge for us. We appreciate what our fans have been doing and the support that they've been giving us. I know our athletes love it and they've just embraced them.
I'll let you go on. I got two more quick ones, Coach, and I know you got to get Parker, Paige Parker, Paige Lowry, Parker Conrad, Mariah Lopez. I know we haven't seen Nicole Mendez in a little bit, but I mean, are we talking five deep right now? Maybe even six with this staff?
I think this staff is it's definitely our deepest staff that we've ever had. And the one thing I just love about every one of them, all six of them have a different look. So you, as an opponent, you can't say, well, I'm going to prepare for Mariah and Parker Conrad the same way, or even, you know, our lefties, I'm going to prepare for them the same way, because they're all so different and they bring such a different look. So it's been awesome to have a starter, to have a middle relief, and then somebody close each game. It's been great.
And has Gianni come down from his WWE high from Sunday night yet?
Yeah, well, you know what? When I got home, he showed me he had videos on his phone. So he had the entrances, John Cena's entrance, and AJ Styles. And well, I don't know if AJ Styles was there. Who else was there? Oh, Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
So he's been showing me all the video and all that good stuff. So he was pretty pumped.
That's awesome. Well, it's good to be home. Coach, we'll see you out there on Friday night. I appreciate all your time. And good luck this week. It should be a good one.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Well, there you have it. Another episode of the Sooner Sports Podcast. Our Friday edition is the tailgate. Softball all weekend at home against Tech. Baseball all weekend at home against West Virginia. Then spring football kicks back off next Monday. Until then, have a great weekend and Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.